last week, Hebrews chapter 4. I want to explore this passage a little more. If you're using the app there, you should be able to pull open the notes and look at that, and so you'll be able to follow along there, and hopefully that'll all work, and you can give me your feedback later on. But anyway, no charge for the app, and you can find the link there. It's hopefully it'll work real well. And I want to help us this morning, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11. Verse number 11, we'll read the text again. And I want to help you practically apply what we kind of laid out for you last week. Hebrews 4, look at verse 11. If you're willing and able, stand as we read God's word today. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Let us labor to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He starts off with a warning. He says, you folks knew better and you did wrong and you just messed up. And here is the key to not messing up. Here's the key to continuing in belief. Here's the key to going forward toward the great rest that he's promised. For the word of God is quick, it is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. No matter how you swing it, it cuts, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, in the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is alive, it is powerful, it is discerning, it is sufficient, it is life-changing. Verse 13, neither is any creature is not manifest in his sight. God knows everything, and his word unveils all things. But all things are open, naked, and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I want to help get into the word of God and let the word of God change you this morning. Let the word of God change you this morning. How can I get the word into me so that it will change me? How many of you are at least a little interested there? How many of you need that in your heart and your life? And I want to unpack that the best I can this morning. Would you pray with me right now? Father God, one more time, would you speak to our hearts? Would you help me to preach with clarity? Would you laser focus me in? And I pray you'd help us. Lord, we've bought all the burdens and all the baggage and all the stuff. If we're not real careful, we'll just be numb zombies and pass through these next few minutes. Would you make us alert? Would you help us read and understand? And I pray that we would apply. And we leave here not only with a plan, but with a passion and a great purpose to let the word get in us and change us. And I pray you'd help us to do just that. I pray in your son's name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. You be seated. Get into the word and let the word of God change you. Last week I said let the word get into you and you get in the word. And I challenged you because of the character of the word of God and the content of the word of God and the author of the word of God and the power of the word of God to let the word of God do that. Now, when I say that, that's like saying, man, lose weight, get some more exercise, cut out your triglycerides or the cholesterol and all. I'm old enough to remember, everybody in the 30s didn't have any clue, I'm old enough to remember when they said eggs were good for you. Eat eggs, eat eggs, eat eggs, eat eggs. Then they came out, Time magazine came out and said, eggs are bad for you. So they came out with this product called Egg Beaters. And I still don't know what's in an egg beater, but you can still buy them, and there's variations on that. Then Newsweek, about 3 years later, said eggs are good for you again. So Time said they were bad, and Newsweek said they were good. And guess what I've just been doing all these years? I just eat eggs. And they're there. And so if I'm not real careful, it's just like this. I have the articles clipped in my files where cell phones are bad for you. There are radiation from that. And I've got the other ones say that they're okay for you. And now I've got the same things that they're better for your eyes. And I've got the same people 2 or 3 years later saying that the blue light coming off the cell phones and the tablets and the computers and laptops is awful for you. So my best guess is to just don't do anything. I don't know. It's crazy. It's amazing how many things. But when I say this, get in the Word, some of you are hearing all that. Well, fine. Well, I'll do this. Or get an exercise or go buy some gym clothes or quit eating so many sweets. And if you're not careful, you're going to treat this like a resolution rather than a resolve in a way of life. In other words, this is what is normal and natural. This is like breathing and eating. This is like what you're supposed to be doing. And so I want to help you with that. Because what we sometimes say is we say, do this, then we walk off. Anybody ever work for somebody like that, by the way? They give you a giant task, and they're like, good luck. and then move along. Anybody besides me ever had those people? Just a few of you? The rest of you had great bosses. Bless your hearts. I never forget one time my dad said, okay, you start the lawnmower, you do this, and pulled it, and then he walked off. And my brother and I sat out there for about 15 minutes before we figured out you had to hold down the choke thing, hold down the crash bar in order to get it to start here. That was a bad time. But we're there, and he didn't mean to tell us badly. It just the way it worked out. When I suggested to you this week, last week, I said to you that the latest research, 2017, says that less than half of professing individuals, believers in America, spend any time at all in the Word of God. Spend any time at all. Less than half. Again, if we would take the room, divide it in half, that means half of you haven't spent any time in the Word of God since January 1st. Any time at all. Now, that is a damning statistic. Nod your head if that makes sense to you. People who say they know Jesus but don't want to listen to Jesus. They don't want to be to His Word. They don't want to listen to it via audio. They don't want to read it via printed page or digital page. They don't spend any time at all. This is not supposed to be normal, but I would suggest to you it is the majority. Is the majority here. They said as well that about 39% of those who attend services at least once a month read a little bit every day. That's 4 out of 10 who come to church. They only read a little bit occasionally. Okay, or they only read a little bit every day. And then, 15% who attend services less than once a month pick up a Bible daily. In other words, that stands to reason there. That's almost in the statistical norm. Say, what do you mean? I mean, if you're not interested in coming to God's house, you're probably not interested in God's Word. Somebody say amen. I know that's strong. I'm not trying to be mean here. But there's some to be a craving in our hearts as Christians, as believers, as Christ followers, that I want to know the Scriptures, and I want the Scripture to change me. And you say, now, preacher, I've been here before. I've been to the point of guilt. I've been to the point of decision. I've been to the point where I know I need more, and I've got this, and this, and I'm busy, and I'm tired. I don't like to read. I don't like to listen. And you've got a stack of stuff. Why? And I want to help knock down your stack of stuff and give you some great biblical helps, how that you can be in the Word and let the Word get into you. And then, like we said this week, I want you to get in the Word and let the Word change you. Let the Word change you. Let the Word mature you. Let the Word develop you. Let the Word encourage you. Let the Word energize you. Let the Word create a great love in your heart for God and His people and His work. How many of you, that sounds fantastic, by the way? You'd love to have the Word in you and let it change your life and knock off the rough edges and help you where you fail in temptation. Anybody besides me need all the help you can get to live for God? Say amen this morning. So I want to help you. I want to help you. Sociologists say this, that there's 5 things people always want to change. There's 5 things people always want to change. Anybody using the app right now? Anybody following along? Okay, a few of you got the app and you're following, good deal. There's 5 things people always want to change. Number one, they always want to change relationships. Always want improvement in their relationships. And again, if you're married in here, you don't want to change your relationship. You may say amen. You want to improve your relationship. How many of you, I mean, like, I'm everything in my relationship is perfect. Again, you're a liar and you need to come forward right now. But I want to improve my relationship. People want to change and they want to improve in their relationships. People want to improve their physical health. They want to improve their physical health. Every now and then I'm just tired of walking, tired of trying to exercise a little bit. And I'll go in there and I'll see somebody in there with a walker. And they'll set the walker down, they'll get on the treadmill. And I'm thinking, that sorry rascal, making me feel bad. Because I didn't get in here with a walker. The ones that kill me are the ones that come in there and they're a couple. And she's got a cane, or whatever it is with the 4 balls, the tennis balls. She's got the cane and he's got the walker. And she goes over and sits down at the machines, and she's going, now she's only listing 5 pounds, but she's still there. And she's still doing that, and I'm going, I feel like a dirty, rotten dog, amen? And, man, we want to change. We just don't want to do the work of change. We want to take a this or that, you know, but we want improvement. We want improvement. We want improvement in our financial health. How many of you like your finances to be a little different, a little better in 2019? Anybody? How many of you would like to have some finances in 2019? Yeah, there's a lot of hands there. We want improvement. We want to help you, and that's one reason we're doing financial peace. What does God's Word say to you about your finances? People always want to change their emotional health. They want to change their emotional health. They want to feel better. Feel better. Crisis and calamity, confusion, and change, they all mess with our emotions. Nod your head if you understand that. Some things you plan for, some things you don't plan for. Changes. We want to be better emotionally. We want to be better emotionally. People are always wanting to change spiritually. People want to change spiritually. Whether they're hanging a dream catcher kind of Native American deal up in their car, getting a tattoo of resolve, whether they're buying a new pendant with a crucifix, whether they're trying out a new church, whatever it is, they want to improve. They want to improve, and they don't always do it biblically, but they want to improve. People are interested in these things. So I think that's true. Now, just for fun here, just so you say you're with me, how many of you would like to take the next step getting into the Word and the Word getting into you? How many of you would like to take the next step of getting into the Scripture and letting the Scripture change you? Anybody besides me, nod at me, grunt at me, say amen. Say amen. I want to help you. I've got a little acronym I think will be a help. It's an old acronym here. It's an old acronym, but I think it'll be a help. I think it'll be a help. I give you this just quickly, but anyway, but there's a problem. The problem with what we talk about in these areas, the problem with what we talk about is because of this. Because people, they recognize they need to change. That's easy. May have a little bit of desire to change. That's harder. But then the power to change. Anybody ever struggle between step two and step three besides me? I need to change. I need God to change me. I want to change, but man, I struggle. I struggle from the need and the desire and the power to change. Man, I struggle there. Struggle. Nod your head if you struggle. What if I could suggest to you that God has given you what you need to change? He's offered you the power through His Holy Spirit and the Word of God to effect change in your life. If you don't like the word change, say spiritual growth. To affect spiritual growth in your life. Now that excites me to death. Because that means it's not on me. That means it's cooperation with the Spirit of God. That means that it's the Word of God has been given to me to help me to understand that. And that I can grow in grace because of what God has already done. How many of you just want to kick your leg and be happy there, right? So what does God say to me? What has God done for me? So I recognize this. I have the desire. But between the desire and there, I have the power. So if you're with me here, I want to help you. Jesus sets a good example, the example for us. Luke 5:16. He has fed the multitudes. He has healed people. And he does what? He gets up a great while before morning and says he withdrew himself in the wilderness and he prayed. He valued the private life. He prized the private life. His quiet time with his Father. Call it devotions. Call it it's time away. I suggest to you, if you want to get in the Word, and the Word get into you, if you want to get in the Word, let the Word change you, we're going to have to be like Jesus, and we're going to have to be deliberate about being in the Word, letting the Word get in us. So here we go. Here's our little acronym. I call it, it's not original. I don't know who, I've heard it all my life. Anyway, ACTSMD, ACTSMD. For those of you who are really a little older, this is the Marcus Welby, MD. Anybody remember Marcus Welby? A few of you in here. This is the Quincy MD. Of course, he was a coroner. We're not interested in anything dead right now. For all of you under 35, Doogie Howser, MD. And there's other shows that had MD in it. I want to give you the prescription using these letters, and I want to help you here. How many of you just feel good thinking about Marcus Welby? Anybody? Some of you in here going, finally, the preacher's saying something I can understand. All right, so we won't do that. Some of you are Googling who Marcus Welby is. Don't do that. My brother's name is Marcus. Mark Anthony, and we called him Marcus Welby, and he didn't like it. His name is Mark, excuse me. But anyway, so I want to help you. So I want to walk you through this. Number one, I want you to understand it. If I'm gonna do this, number one, I need to learn how to adore. I need to learn how to adore. That means to praise God. You want the Word to get into you and you get in the Word, we need to focus here. We need to focus here. Psalm 96:4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. See, when I start off here, I start off with adoration. I can think of no better way to start a day or end a day or whatever you have, your quiet time, whatever it is. Lord, I'm thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for your character. I'm thankful for you. If you'll start reading the Bible that way, I'm looking for something to thank God for, to praise God for, My we have tried to do this on and off 22 years of our marriage. but not just say thank you for doing the laundry or thank you for folding, for vacuuming or whatever, but thank you for being you. Thank you for being sweet and kind and considerate. Thank you for that. We've tried to do that and point out character traits. If I get that, if as thick as I am, as big a doof as I am, if I understand that's a good idea in a marriage, we ought to understand that's a good idea to the Lord. Lord, you, because of who you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. What we do here corporately ought to be an overflow of the adoration that happens 7 days a week in your life. Say, I want God's word to get in me. When God's word to get in me, I want to take that vertically and I want to adore the Lord. I want to say, great are you, Lord, because of who you are and what you've done. Let me suggest to you not only A, but C. If you want the word to get in you, you get in the word. Let me encourage you to confess your sin. Confess your sin. Someone has suggested that barren altars reflect a barren life. I don't know if that may be always true, but I can suggest to you one thing. If you don't have a life of confession where you are quick to ask God to forgive you and to forsake that sin, you all of a sudden will have a clogged up, dirty life where you're making excuses for things you have no business making excuses for. Confession ought to be a normal part of our lives. God, I didn't do this. I should have done this. Lord, I said this. And by the way, when I confess vertically, then I'm interested in reconciling horizontally. I want to get things straight. I'm to make confession that way. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. We don't believe that in America. We hire lawyers. We do all kind of things. We lie. We obfuscate. We do all this kind of stuff. But whoso confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. Psalm 32, verse 5. Getting ahead of my own notes here. I acknowledge my sin or thee, my iniquity have I not hid. I have said, I will confess my transgressions in the Lord, and you forgave me of my sins. Selah, think about it. We confess our sins. We confess our sins. Here it is, 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to have this kind of relationship with God. Number one, learn how to adore him. When you read the scripture, Lord, there's something I can praise you for. Here's something I can praise you for. Something I can praise you for. My brother and his wife went to a couple's marriage deal years ago. They've been married a little longer than I have, and even though he's younger. They're funny. They taught them to go, ah, when the other person walked in the room. Help me out just a minute. Can you help me with that? Say, ah. And so you'd be at their house, and one of them go in the kitchen, come back in. My brother would go, ah. And I'd say, what's wrong? He'd say, we're saying, ah, because every time we see him, we're supposed to be delighted to see him. I said, it's weird, it's creepy. And he walked out of the room, he went to the restroom, came back, and his wife said, ah. He went to the bathroom. What is it? There is nothing noteworthy about him. I mean, you could still hear the toilet running. I said, wait. Oh, no, we were practicing this. We want to appreciate every time. They were in a little two-bedroom apartment. They couldn't help but see each other all the time. It was, they don't do it anymore. Thank the Lord. But they did. I've never forgot. And I said, we want to always be amazed. I'm like, she went to get a glass of water. She was gone 12 seconds. There's no reason to be going, He's like, well, we're practicing what we were taught. Now, you say, that's true. But every time you look at Jesus, there's something to be going, wow. Not ah, but awe. Wow, look at you, Lord. Wow, look at you, Lord. And when I see that, there's adoration, there's confession, there's thanksgiving, A-C-T. There's thanksgiving. Thank God for my stuff. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his actions. Thank God. You want to start your day right? Before you get out of bed, start thanking God. Start thanking God. Before you're brushing your teeth, thank God. Thank God. If you're driving to work, thank God. As you get the kids to the bus on time, thank God. As you pick them up and they're saying, thank God. Man, if you to characterize your life that way, you want to exercise that'll never end, get out a pen and a piece of paper and start writing things you should be thankful for. Man, it'll never end. I'm thankful. Let me help you here. If you go adoring God for who he is and confessing my sin, make sure that pathway is unobstructed to him, if I am being thankful to him, let me help. Man, your heart's pretty primed for whatever's coming next. Anybody, nod your head if you sound that sound like a good idea to somebody. I am being thankful to him. There are multitudes and multitudes of verses, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be cautious or anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here's what we do. God, I need. God, I want. God, I'm jammed up. God, I'm here. And then when God doesn't do exactly what we think he ought to do, then we're mad with God. Somebody say amen to that. That's terrible. Before I ever get to my list, I get to my thanking. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anything that gets the ire up in most of us than to see a small child throw a little fit in a store and the parent reward the bad behavior just to get the child to be quiet? Anybody, by the way, been there, done that? I'm not looking down anybody on this. But it makes you mad, doesn't it? You're like, that child doesn't need anything. That child needs to have the Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding, and I'm just the man to do it. And anybody, you get real vigilante, parent vigilanteism, you know, when you see other people. But your child, you're like, oh, you know. But everybody else's child, we kind of see it in. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. We're going, that child's ungrateful. We catch it. But we don't look in the mirror very well, do we? God, you have blessed me. You have been good to me. You have been amazing to me. And the thankfulness should be eking and going out of us here. Philippians chapter 4, I am to be thankful to him. Then finally we get to our supplication. Again, I'm preparing my heart for the word to get in me and the word to change me. Word to change me. We're still there in Philippians chapter 4 there. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. This is my list. This is my list. Let me encourage you here. God, as I open up your word, would you show me something today? God, as I'm here and we're doing the 30-day challenge and I open up the YouVersion or I'm looking at the list that have been printed out. Lord, I was looking at this. God, would you show me something today? God's given us his word. He's elevated his word above his name. I think one of the first things we ought to pray is, God, show me from the word. Teach me from the word. Impact me from the word. Change me from your word. And we pray for others. We pray for our own requests. Now all of a sudden what? Now my heart is fertile for the word of God. My heart is fertile for the word of God. A-C-T-S. Acts. And what's the M-D? Then I'm ready. And just to make it cute there with the MD, meditator, or spend the time. Spend the time now in the Word. I think you need to read the Word. If you're not a reader, you can listen to it. Technology's advanced. You can get the CDs. There's still tapes out there. You can listen to it. You can listen to it. You can listen to the whole New Testament in 30 days. You can listen to it over a year. You can read the whole Bible in 90 days. You can read a few verses a day. Whatever the plan is, man, I can do this. I can read it. I can spend a little time with it. I can try and memorize some things. I can get into it and bask in it, and I can tear into it, savor it. Before we moved here, my daughter had signed up to go on a mission trip. Still with me? Say amen. Still with me. All right. Signed up to go on a mission trip with our former church, and so we came here. We honored that, you know, and so we took off to go to Chicago and took our vacation that year, took her up there, and so we were there, and we participated with the group and all. And part of what the group was doing, they were going to a couple of the deep dish places. I'd had deep dish pizza, but I'd never had deep dish pizza in Chicago. I'd never had mafia pizza. That's what somebody called it, you know. You know why everything's so good? Because of the mafia. I don't know any of that's true, but it was pretty good. and they were there, and they're like, I was a little heavier than I am now. They said, Pastor Rodney said, nobody eats more than two pieces. I took that as a personal challenge. How many of you, you know, you can't eat, you know, I'm like Mikey, you can't eat just one. I was going for it. And so they bring it out, and it's, about inch and a half, 2 inches thick, and it's just a heart attack on a plate. That's all it is, man. And it's swimming in grease and cheese and jazz. And some of you are going, why do you talk about food? Because I'm hungry. And so they bring it out, and I made it through about two and a half slices, and then I was dead. But I'm there, and I'm watching them, as teenagers, as adults. It's a pretty good group there. And most everybody's lived all their life, never been to Chicago, never had this. And so I'm watching. And they stab their fork in it, and they pull up a piece, and I'm watching people go, oh, wow. And some of them didn't blow it, and it was too hot. And they're going, oh, wow, and I can't feel my mouth now because it's burned. And they're there, and they're happy. And some of them are picking it up, and they're looking at the crust and all. And I'm not doing any of that. I'm just, thank you. And because I'm trying to eat 3-4 pizzas. You know, I'm trying to do the dare. I got done, and my wife said, did you catch all the cheese? And I said, nope. Did you enjoy? Nope. She's like, it was wonderful. She had, what, a piece and a half. I'd had, you know, I was about to die at 2.5 pieces. And you know, they were carting it out of there and all this kind of stuff. I'd have been so much better off. I just slowed down. Toward the end of the week, we went and had it again. And I slowed down that time. And I caught the meats and the cheeses and the mafia recipe. I don't know. You know, and I caught that. I slowed down. You can rush right through. I don't know it'll do you any good. You can slow down a little bit. Pay attention to it. If church has just got to check it off, I don't know it does you a lot of good. But I come empty-handed, excited. Give it to me. I'm going to take some notes. I'm going to use the new app. I'm going to look online later when we post them. I want to bask in it. I want to jump in it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to be on. I'll be here on Sunday night. I'll be here on Wednesday. I want to marinate in the Word. I want to do that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. His request, his command to Timothy was to meditate on what? On the things that he told him. Give yourself to him so that your profiting may appear to all. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my thoughts, my meditation all the day. I love it. I love it. Whatever works for you. Man, a note card, a post-it note, put it somewhere and just think. If you just thought about a verse a day or a verse a week, you'd be much better off. God, teach me. Show me. Show me. Help me to understand. Help me to apply. And finally, declare. 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 Again, just for the cuteness of the MD there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. There are lots and lots of passages like this. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he is in God. There ought to be something in your life where you're willing to share the truth with others. Whether it's just a simple testimony, God saved me from my sins. Or whether it's been God is teaching me this, there needs to be an outlet, a forum for that. One of the things we do on Sunday night, and we're retooling there in February, is we want to give you that outlet. You can come and hear. It's part of Sunday school. What we do, our adult Bible study on Sunday morning, is part of what we want to be doing in your life and our continue. I need to share that with lost people. I need to share that with lost people. I need to share that with others. I need to be willing and brave. Some of you mentioned in Sunday school how you sharing your faith has cost you friends and has made things awkward and difficult. But that's okay because that's God's Word getting in you. When it gets in you, you want it to get out of you. You want to share it with others. Man, it's life changing. It's life changing. ACTS, Axiom D, that is when the doctor of the Scriptures comes, will change your life. The doctor of the Scriptures comes, will change your life. But how can I practically work this out? I think I've given you some practical things. Let me offer a couple to you. Number one, set a time. Set a time to be in the Word. Set a time to be in the Word. Make an appointment. Make an appointment. Morning, afternoon, evening, I don't matter. Most of us would do better to do it in the morning. Some of you are second and third shifters. You can't do that. I'm going to do this. For years and years, when I'd work and had to be somewhere very early, I'd read just a little bit. I'd pray just a little bit, knowing that sometime at lunch I'd have a little less hurried time to do that. I think you make it a priority to do. We'll leave early to get to a doctor's appointment. We'll move heaven and earth to be at the airport on time. We'll do all kind of things that are not nearly as important as spending time with God and His Word so I can get into it and He can get into me and change me. May I suggest to you that you make time, set a time where that is, whether it's over a cup of coffee and a bagel, whatever it is. Man, I want to do this. I want to set a time. I want to, secondly, don't miss regular times of fellowship and worship. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I'm not saying come here and contaminate everybody because you got the crud. God bless you. Stay home. Amen. Go to the Methodist church. Don't do that. I'm just messing. Some of you are like, I just tease. I'm really just messing. I'm trying to wake you up. Don't do that. Some of you are like, go to the Methodist church. Okay. Don't do that. But there's a priority. I can come, fellowship together, worship together, learn together, take some stuff home. pastor's prayed over, he's worked over, he's done his best to put on the bottom shelf for all of us to get a hold of, man, be in the Word of God. Some of you right now, some of you, it has been months and months since you had a regular, consistent time. Some of you have made it to this point in your life without ever having a regular, consistent time in the Word of God. You've been hit or miss or very sporadic, or maybe all you ever get is right now. I'm telling you, this is your opportunity to make that difference in your life. You cannot live on just what you get on Sunday morning. You can't do it. You're not made to do it that way. I'm not trying to help you feel guilty. I'm trying to give you the doctor's prescription, the Axiom D prescription. This is it. You can set a time. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There's accountability. There's so many things there. Participate. Some of you right now, we've been working through. We've had six go through. They're almost done. We're about to have 12. We're going to expand that. Some of you are going to be asked, hey, would you do this? Would you engage in 13-week concentrated time together? See, I can't be here always on Wednesday nights. We're expanding. We're going to do other times. And some of you are just going to meet on your own. That's fine. Some of you are going to do a few things over the phone. It's going to be wonderful. We want to do it. But I want to be there. I want to be concentrated. I want to be filtered. I want to be filtered. I want to be informed and faithful this way. Life on life. And you together. And you're accountable to each other. And you're going forward. And then finally, I want to suggest you need to make it a priority. I'm done. Make it a priority. We had a long, long story, but we had ended up as chaperones. Chaperones on a youth trip to Disney World. A lot worse things to ever be than to go to Disney World for free being a chaperone some years ago. Because I'm a nice guy and a youth leader, guy running this trip, he's like, I'm going to put these two in your room. They're seventh graders. He said, I need you to make sure they brush their teeth and take a shower. And I went, oh, I don't want these people, man. Don't do this to me. If you think they're not sanitary, hygienic. And he's like, I'm telling you, make sure. So we get in the room. It's about bedtime. I look at the boys. Have y'all showered today? Oh, sir. We hit the showers. Came back out. Kid came out. He was in and out in like 30 seconds. I said, did you shower? He said, yes, sir. I said, did you use soap? He went, turned around, went back in the shower. And I'm thinking, I don't know if a free trip to Disney's worth this or not. Every day it was the same thing. I mean, these 13, 14-year-old, tall as I am, boys, you know, you brush your teeth, shower, use deodorant. I forgot that one the first 2 days. I realized that after 2 days of the Florida sun. I finally looked at him. I said, y'all's problem, not ignorant. Problem's just not a priority to you. I said, bothers me. You can do this. You can grow up. You're never going to get a girlfriend. You're never going to get any friends. Make it a priority. I see him every so often. I actually run into him. One guy got straight and grew up, and married a wonderful young lady and in the Air Force, just retired from the Air Force, and got his 20 in doing well and mechanic and all that kind of stuff. Other guys, IT, and done well. I run into them. We bump into each other every now and often. I smile, I look at them. Sharply dressed, hair combed. I'm assuming they brushed their teeth. And listen. So why you say something silly like this to end the sermon? Because right here. Because you go, that's just normal, natural. That's easy peasy. Everybody knows to do that. Let me help you. For the believer, it ought to be normal. It ought to be natural. It ought to be easy peasy to get in the Word. And let the Word get in you. Get in the Word and let the Word change you. Now, I'm not saying that the process, but it ought to be something we want to do. It ought to be something we desire to do. And God gives us the power to change us. I want to encourage you, let that be the part of your life. Just like combing your hair and brushing it. Make that appointment. Make that priority. And it'll be difficult. It's all these years. It's still, I have a quality time with the Lord. It's still a struggle for me. Still difficult some days, some weeks. But I press on because I know this is what God wants to use in my life to change me. And you. You say, I can be embarrassed. I can be ashamed. I can be defeated. Don't we just start today? Lord, I adore you for who you are. Lord, I want to confess my sin. don't want anything between you and me. But I'm thankful for your blessings, what you've done for me. I want to pray for others and pray for my own needs. I want to get in the Word now. Whatever it is, a passage, a verse, I'll listen to it, read it. I want to think about it. Chew on it. Speak to me. I want to get the Word in me, and I want to be able to share it with other people. Nothing else, my testimony. I want it to be a priority in my life. I want God's Word in me. I want to get in the Word and let the Word get in me. I want to get in the Word and let the Word change me. The Word will change you. You follow God's plan. ACTSMD. I think that's an easy thing for us to remember. ACTSMD. Let God's Word change you. Is it a priority in your life? Would you pray with me right now? You've listened so well. I preached encouragingly, I hope, this morning. I preached as a coach or a teacher saying, you can do this. Hopefully I've preached as a pastor, as a shepherd, saying, boy, this would change your life. Some of you have made this decision before. You've made this commitment before. You hadn't kept it. Let me help you today. God's a God of fresh starts and new starts. I want to encourage you to make a fresh start and a new start this morning. Some of you are here and you're going, you know, I didn't do well in school, and this kind of thing troubles me. I want to encourage, I'm not talking to you about mental acumen. I'm talking about spiritual hunger. And I'd be glad to help you any way I can to help you get God's Word in your life.